Don't fix it.
Johnny?
Present.
I'm comfortable. I know the routine.
United States of America. And to the Republic.
And I don't want to brag, but I'm pretty popular around here. I do really well in sports. I'm just very successful here. Why would I go and mess that up by graduating?
Boat.
I mean, in the first grade, I may not know all the answers.
D-dog. E.
The hours are longer. I hear they don't even have nap time. I mean, I just don't see the upside. Then first grade leads to second grade, second to third.
It's really good.
Then you're in high school reading boring books with no pictures.
Three, four, five.
But he was still hungry.
Next thing you know, people expect you to get a job and give up summer vacation. No, sir. I think I found my niche. Thank you very much. Home sweet kindergarten. Besides, I mean, what if I failed first grade? How humiliating would that be? Just don't think I could handle that kind of embarrassment.
E-I-O-U and sometimes letter Y-U.
That was not a good choice. Very disappointed.
We're going to be talking this morning about comfort zones. So, if you're ready to exit a comfort zone, why don't you please stand with me, open up your Bibles, and let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. This is the third gospel in the New Testament, giving us the life, the teaching, the happenings that were taking place while Jesus walked the face of this earth. Luke, chapter 9. And we're going to read the first six verses. It says this: when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to come into this place to be around others that love you, others that seek you, and to be encouraged by your word this morning. I pray that you will cause your word to challenge us, to inspire us. Lord, we don't want to leave this place the same that we came in. We pray that you will accomplish your work in us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Comfort zones. Cambridge Dictionary defines comfort zones as the place where your ability and determination are not being tested. It's basically the place that's easy in life. It's the place that's predictable. You've seen it before. You've experienced it before. There's no resistance. It's stress-free. It's your comfort zone. When I was in middle school, I kind of had a rough seventh grade year. I had a really bad haircut, and the shoes that I wore were like the most uncool shoes in the entire school. Seventh grade is rough, as it is for most seventh graders. Got past that, went to eighth grade, and things were actually going pretty smoothly. I was like, this is all right. You know, I'm in middle school here. I'm starting to figure things out, and it's okay. Until the Lord gave me this idea to start carrying my Bible around at school. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, I did not hear that. But when I prayed about it and thought about it, it just kind of never went away. And so I wrestled with it. I'm not going to sit here and say that first day I just got the biggest Bible in our house with all the pictures and everything, flannel graphs, and took it to school. I'm not saying that, but after wrestling with it, I okay, I'm going to try this out. And I remember at first just trying to sneak it in. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe the little Gideon New Testament that they gave us, put in there and the corner is peeking out a little bit. I know that when I put my stack of books together in eighth grade, ninth grade, there are many times when I would try to kind of put it on like maybe number two. You know, you got biology, you have God's Bible, and then social studies or whatever else. And you take your stack around. I'm like, all right, this is okay. But the Lord just put on my heart, I needed to carry my Bible at school. And so I knew that what I needed to do is to put that on top. And I'll be honest with you, as soon as I started to do that, I was completely out of my comfort zone. Eighth grade, ninth grade, that started to look a lot different as I would begin to walk through school and just think that everybody was staring at me. Some of them probably were, but most probably weren't. Or I'd sit in class and I'd always try to have that up on the top of the desk above my other books, and I was not comfortable. Honestly, as I went through school, I never got comfortable with that. I never got comfortable with it. I just continued to have to be out of my comfort zone. I had to exit it almost every day that I carried my Bible at school. I wonder why we don't want to get out of our comfort zones. You know, I wonder why we'd prefer to stay in a place in our life that's not risky, that doesn't stretch us, that doesn't break up our regular routine. There's something about just being human where we want to be comfortable. I mean, think about all the things that we try to bring into our life to add comfort. They have heated seats in cars now, heated steering wheels. They have blankets, not even like a blanket. I mean, you know, you have a blanket that turns on and you can gauge how much heat. Oh, I don't have enough energy to take the blanket off, so I'm just going to adjust the temperature dial right here. You know, we love being comfortable. And we find that in our lives, in our marriage, in our family, relationship with those at work, whatever it is that we're doing, we want to be comfortable. We don't want there to be any resistance. But I wonder what it would look like if you exited a comfort zone. And I don't know what that might be. It might be exiting the comfort zone of a routine. And maybe tonight or tomorrow night, guys, maybe turning the TV off for a little while and sitting across from your wife and asking her how she's really doing. Maybe it's exiting the routine of your schedule and getting up a little bit earlier and opening up the Bible and being in prayer. It might be even your involvement at CCC. You've been coming for a while. Maybe the exit of a comfort zone might be volunteering for a ministry. Maybe at some point going on a missions trip. And I don't know what your comfort zone is, but what would it be like if you maybe stepped out of that comfort zone and went to the neighbor and invited them to church with you next Sunday? Exiting the comfort zone. Now, when I talk about comfort zones, I like it. When I talk about exiting comfort zones, I start to get a little nervous. You know, it's like, well, that's not fun. That's not easy. But what I want to say to you this morning is quite possibly the greatest adventures and the greatest victories that God has for your life are not going to happen in your comfort zone. They're going to happen outside your comfort zone. See, God talks throughout Scripture about how he comforts people. If you're in your comfort zone, do you need to be comforted? And I found that God comforts most when I'm not in my comfort zone, because I actually need comfort. Jesus, in this text this morning, called his disciples out of their comfort zone. They didn't think that they were ready. They didn't think that it sounded fun or easy. You'll see that. But he called them out of their comfort zone for several reasons. So if you look at our text this morning, it says Jesus gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and then he sent them out. Now, you have to understand that these disciples had already given up a lot, okay? They'd given up a lot more than most of us. They'd given up their families for a time. They had given up their homes and their comforts and their occupations. They had given up so many things in order to follow Jesus, and Jesus was taking them on this adventure, on this journey of reaching the world, and they had given up so much, and we can applaud that, and we should, and it's a great example for our lives. However, past sacrifices, past victories, past choices to exit a comfort zone can actually in itself over time become another comfort zone. Because we can look back and be like, yeah, but I'm not where I was, and that's awesome, but God always has more. There are more experiences, there's more revelation, there are more opportunities to be used by him. There's always more. And Jesus comes to his disciples who had given up so much, who had experienced so much, and said, I want you to exit your comfort zone another time. And it says that he sent them out. Now, what is significant about this is that Jesus had been spending time with them. He was physically with them up to this point. And now all of a sudden, he was sending them out alone. He was sending them out alone. No longer was Jesus going to be doing all the talking. No longer could they sit back when a tough question came, like, yeah, Jesus, it's a good one. All of a sudden, Jesus was not going to be physically with them. This was huge in their world. This was a shock to their system, to their faith. Like, but Jesus, you've always been there with us. It says he sent them out, and then it goes on to say the list of things that they can't take, which was pretty much everything. He said, no staff, don't take a bag, don't take bread, don't even pack away anything, no money, no extra shirt. Basically, I want you to go empty-handed. I can even imagine Jesus making them empty their pockets. You know what I'm saying? Like, because four of them were fishermen. Peter and Andrew, James and John were fishermen. And I could just, in my mind, just the way my mind works, imagine Simon Peter's like, man, I'm ready, let's do this. And Jesus looks over and there's like a fishing net just peeking out of his pocket. Jesus is like, no, we're not doing that. So pulling out the fish, there's a fishing pole connected, tackle box. He's got all these things in his pocket. And Jesus is just pulling all of these things out, not even loose change, nothing. Fruit snacks, no, nothing. You're not taking anything with you. I want you to go empty-handed, and I want you to go alone. Oh, my goodness. You talk about exiting the comfort zone. Going on a trip. I mean, when I go on a trip, I'm checking every pocket. I got the wallet, okay, I got the credit card, got a little bit of cash, they take that some places still. I got my driver's license stuck in there somewhere, I'm making sure I have everything. I got my iPhone right here. Actually, it broke this week, but usually I would have it right here. I've got a mint in the pocket, you know, you've got the keys. And then when you're a young parent of young kids, you've got, you know, extra pacifier thing in the back pocket, you know what I'm saying, in a Ziploc bag so it doesn't get dirty. You're prepared. You have everything that you need. And Jesus is saying, I want you to go empty-handed. You talk about leaving your comfort zone. Nothing. Nothing. Just go. Not only that, and this is where some of us can cause our brain just to start to wiggle right here, and that is Jesus sent them out without any itinerary, without any MapQuest directions, without any play-by-play of this is what's going to happen. And I've found when you exit your comfort zone, it's very unsettling because you don't know how it's going to take place. You don't know how it's going to turn out. You ever exited your comfort zone to do something you haven't done before for God, for your family, to do something that's right, and you're like, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm going to try it. And Jesus sent these disciples out without any play-by-play directions of which village to go to, of which place to go to. That would have been easier. All right, guys, I want two of you to go over to Gladwin. I want two of you to go over to the Tridge area. I want two of... Jesus is like, just go. Just go. Empty-handed, alone. Jesus wasn't going to be physically with them. And without an itinerary, without directions, without a specific play-by-play, without guarantees. And then he threw this one in here just to encourage them. Verse 5. If people do not welcome you, he's like, could happen. Just giving you a heads up. If people do not welcome you, leave their town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. He's telling them, not only are you going empty-handed and alone and without any specific directions, there could be some opposition. There could be some things happen. You might get stones thrown at you. You might have people that aren't really, really happy to see you. You see, when you leave your exit zone, you exit your comfort zone, there's so much growth that takes place because there's resistance. Have you ever tried to run underwater? I'm not buoyant, so I sink, and so I've had great experiences underwater for like 30 seconds, just standing there. And like seeing all these people float above me, it's like not cool. And it's true that yeah, I can walk on water, walk underwater. You awake? But running underwater is very difficult because there is resistance. And Jesus is telling them, guys, look, there's going to be resistance. There's going to be opposition. And I found that when you exit your comfort zone in whatever area of life it is challenging. And not everybody loves it. And not everybody's excited. You might have some other people in your comfort zone that are trying to pull you back in. You're wanting to live for God. You're making choices that are righteous and holy in God's sight. And you've got your buddies that are like, no, come back. There's resistance. But here's what happened. They set out. From village to village they went, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. You see, the only instructions really that Jesus gave them was go out and preach the gospel. Go out and preach the gospel. Now, up to that point, Jesus had not died on the cross and rose again, correct? But yet they were preaching the gospel. What were they preaching? They're preaching that Jesus is the king. The king has come. His kingdom is here. His rule and reign is coming to this earth. You need to surrender your life to Jesus. You need to repent. You need to turn away from your wickedness and fall on your knees before Jesus because he's the king. And they begin to go out and they preach the gospel. They preach that Jesus is the king. And then they heal people. Jesus didn't give them sermon notes. Just go out and preach the gospel. Preach Jesus. He didn't ask them to go out and do a Bible study. He just said, go out and start healing people. And not only that, cast demons out as well. And so they went out, going village to village, and they did exactly what Jesus said. They preached the gospel. They proclaimed that Jesus is the king. And when you do that, miracles happen, okay? People were healed. Demons were cast out. And they come back. You see, Jesus was teaching them something. He was teaching them that they could depend on him. Because he had given them, if you read verse 1 in this text, power and authority. Power and authority to do his work. Now, the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out, but Jesus gave them a dispensation of grace and power and authority for them to go out at that time and to do Jesus' work. From village to village, proclaiming Jesus is the king. If you fast forward to right before Jesus was arrested and crucified, Jesus was sitting at the Last Supper with his disciples. And it's interesting, he brings this up. He brings up Luke chapter 9 to his disciples. And he said, look, whenever I sent you out, you guys remember that? Yeah, and they're like, yeah, the time when I was most freaked out in my life. Yeah, that one. Do you remember when I sent you out without a staff, without sandals, without money, without food? Yeah, remember that. Jesus said, did you lack anything? Did you lack anything? And here's what the disciples said in response. Nothing. Isn't it interesting? They took nothing with them, but yet when they exited their comfort zone to do what God had called them to do what God is leading them to do, they lacked absolutely nothing. There are some amazing things that happen when you choose to exit your comfort zone. I'm going to talk about that a little bit in our remaining time. One of those things is this. When you exit your comfort zone, in case you're writing these things down, you experience a greater level of dependence on God. When you're in your comfort zone, you pray. When you exit your comfort zone, you pray. And you'll see this in the disciples' lives in the New Testament and in the Gospels. You know some of the accounts, and others of you getting into the Word, and you're reading about these where the disciples talked a lot. They asked for a lot. They're like, I want to sit at your right hand and your left hand, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. I want to be the greatest. And they had all the solutions for everything. Jesus is like, would you just be quiet? Okay, I'm God. Let me take care of this. But they talked a lot, incessantly talking. But then you find, if you read Acts chapter 1, after Jesus has died, he's risen again, and he's left, suddenly the disciples aren't talking much. You know what it says? Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they were constantly in prayer. Suddenly they go from talking, blah, 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 to I'm exited out of my comfort zone, and now maybe I won't be talking as much, I'm just going to pray. They prayed. They sought after God. Have you ever woke up in the morning and had a thought that made your eyes go like this? Poof. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's you hear the trash truck and you forgot to take the trash out and it's already bulging over and you're like, oh man, what was I thinking? I totally forgot that. Maybe with your little ones, the thought comes to mind like, I think I forgot to change my baby's diaper yesterday. And they've been in their crib in it the whole night and you're like, oh my goodness, it's going to be a train wreck up there. I had a thought, and it wasn't those, but it was a thought that made my eyes go like this, poof, as I woke up. It was on Thursday morning, January 5th. It's a morning that I'll never forget. I knew it was coming. But it hit me Thursday morning, January 5th, as I woke up in bed and this thought hit me, and here was the thought. The thing that I had been doing for the last 20 years of my life, I was no longer doing. I had been a youth pastor or a missionary to youth for 20 years. And now all of a sudden, when I woke up Thursday morning, January 5th, that thought hit me. I am no longer doing that. That wakes you up in the morning. Now, some of you might say, I bet that was a joyful time. You went out for coffee with your wife and you just rejoiced. I mean, who wants to hang out with teenagers? Who wants to spend time with them? I mean, come on, I bet they are so draining and discouraging, and you just go home depressed every night. And I would say to any of you that think that, I'm sorry that you think that. Because teenagers and young adults are some of the most passionate, servant-hearted people in the world. They have such ridiculous God-given ability and potential. It's not even funny. I mean, it is just crazy how God has fashioned these young people. And we had the opportunity and the blessing to be able to come alongside them and love them and work with them and counsel them and point them to Jesus. And after 20 years, this thought hit me, oh my goodness, what now? What am I doing? It was quite unsettling. And I knew it was coming, but it was uncomfortable. And I realized I am out of my comfort zone. I am out of my comfort zone. One of my mentors gave me a very encouraging word. Here's what she said. She said, it's okay, Keith. Teenagers are just like adults. Adults are like teenagers. Adults are just like teenagers, only they have bigger problems, okay? I'm like, oh, okay. That's very encouraging and comforting as I'm outside my comfort zone. Appreciate that. And I'm realizing that, yes, I am outside my comfort zone, but I'm realizing I'm excited to be outside my comfort zone. Because when you are outside your comfort zone, oh my, you start praying. You start seeking God. You start really depending on Him, and I'm experiencing that at a whole different level because I'm outside my comfort zone. It's a great place to be. You see that in Scripture. Remember, the Israelites went to Egypt, and a lot of people think that they were as slaves day one. They stepped into Egypt, and they were slaves. But actually, there was a time of prosperity. Acts chapter 7 actually tells us that they had a time where they raised to the level of opulence. I mean, things were going well. You talk about a comfort zone, things were going great. And there is no record of them calling out to God until they became slaves. Suddenly, they were outside of their comfort zones, and they started crying out, we need help. Simon Peter didn't cry out to Jesus while he was walking on water, but yet when he was sinking, what was the first thing that he said? Lord, save me. You see, when we step out of our comfort zones, we are in a realm where if God doesn't act on our behalf, we're toast. We need Him. And I tell you what, that is a really, really good place to be. You will experience God at a greater level. You'll experience His voice at a greater level when you are actually outside of your comfort zone. Here's another thing that happens. When you exit your comfort zone, you actually get to follow the example of Jesus. You actually get to be walking in His steps and doing a little bit of what He did because He left His comfort zone. Philippians chapter 2 says that God, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or clinged on to, but instead He made Himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a servant, and He became a human being. And being found in appearance as a human being, He served, He lived, and then He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. If you talk about stepping out of your comfort zone, this is the quintessential exit of comfort zone. Jesus leaving the comforts and glory and perfection of heaven that we can't even imagine to come down into our chaos and our brokenness and the earthquake that's hit this world. And He did it. Exited His comfort zone to come down into our world to rescue us. What an example for us. And when we exit our comfort zone and doing the right thing for God and stepping out in faith and taking that next step in our relationship with him, or stepping out of our comfort zone in order to maybe make that call and apologize to someone that you hurt a long time ago or someone that's offended, to maybe even do something that you haven't done before in reconciling a friendship or a relationship, of going out of your way, out of your comfort zone, out of your routine in order to do something for God, in order to do something that's right. I'm telling you, you actually are following Jesus' example. One of the reasons why I love missions trips and I love taking people on missions trips is because it gets Keith Grable out of his comfort zone. When I am sleeping on a hard tile floor for a week, when I am taking a shower and seeing a scorpion go by, When I am holding babies that are HIV positive, when I'm spending time with kids who literally live in heaps of trash, we would call them landfills here, they're not that nice in other places, and kids that are growing up there, that need supervision. When I get to do things like that, let me tell you, that is outside my comfort zone, and it normally takes a couple days of God knocking on the door of my heart saying, "Who are you?" And I find it so hard because I've got to realize how selfish I've become, how comfortable I've become, how I think this is the way it has to go. And exit my comfort zone, and it's amazing how your heart just opens up to God and opens up to people when we exit our comfort zone. When we do that, we follow Jesus' example. That's exactly what he did. You don't have to necessarily go on a mission trip to another country in order to accomplish that. For some of us, it's just the next step, whatever that is, of stepping out in order to do something for God, in order to do something that's right, in order to do something that's needed in your marriage and in your family. You're stepping out of that comfort zone. When you do that, you begin to experience the greatest God adventures that you would never experience if you stayed in your comfort zone. If you stay in your comfort zone, there is no adventure. It's comfortable. You know what's going to happen. It's predictable, routine, right? When you exit your comfort zone, that's when the God adventures begin to take place. Later on in Luke chapter 9, we read about a man who came up to Jesus with a very noble statement. He said, "Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go." I'm sure the people around him were like, "That's pretty cool. He's going to follow Jesus wherever he goes." But Jesus, as you know, has a way to see right through what we're actually saying, right into our heart. And you know, when Jesus looked at that man, I believe what he saw was comfort zone. This man wants to follow me as long as it's in his comfort zone. This is how Jesus responded. Verse 57, I believe, Luke chapter 9. "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head." Scripture does not record that man following Jesus. Jesus said it right there. Look, hey, in the context of my present ministry right now, I'm on the move constantly. I'm not staying in nice hotels. I'm just staying wherever there's ground, wherever there's a room, wherever there's a floor. That's where I'm staying. I'm here to reach people. I'm not about my own comfort. And this man, I'm guessing, walked away. Scripture doesn't record that he followed Jesus. Jesus has a way of seeing right through our pretenses to see what is in our heart. And Jesus let him know, "Hey, follow me." But see, this is the God adventure that he missed out on. In a time of history when the average person did not travel outside of a 30-mile radius their entire life, Jesus was calling these men and women to follow him, and he was healing people and doing miracles, and he was feeding them miraculously, and he was teaching these kingdom principles that no one had ever heard of before. And not only that, he was sending them out village to village, and eventually sending them out all over the known world. This guy missed out. And when you stay inside your comfort zone, let me tell you, you miss out on God adventures. There's a young man who used to attend Thrive, and he was a part of this church, and recently he's written a book about the Holy Spirit and about God using us to do amazing things. And he wrote in his book just a story of when he was a little bit younger, and he was in a room, and there were a lot of sick and hurting people there. And he felt like the Lord was kind of pushing him, like, you need to go pray for people and believe that they're going to be healed. And he was just like, no way. I'm not doing that. His you know, basically what he shared is his batting average on praying for healing was like zero. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, nobody ever has gotten healed and I prayed for them, and he's nervous and feeling unsettled because that was going to be a huge step out of his comfort zone. And as he continued to pray, God just kept that into us. It kept that on his heart and his spirit. And finally he gave, and he's like, okay. And this is what he wrote. He said, finally, I punched fear in the face, stood up, and went and prayed for people. People got healed that day. And since then, people are still getting healed as the Lord uses them in that area. I punched fear in the face, stood up, and went and prayed for people. I love it. When you stay in your comfort zone, you miss out on God adventures. When you exit that comfort zone, whatever area that is, whether it's in your family, and it's sitting down with your kids, and you're like, I've never done this before, but I'm going to open up the Bible, and we're going to read a passage together. Okay? It's maybe praying out loud. It's coming to an altar. It's talking to someone at work about what Jesus has done in your life. Whatever it is, when you step out of your comfort zone, as hard as it is, you experience God adventures. You experience God doing some things that wouldn't have happened if you stayed here. When you exit your comfort zone, not only do you experience God adventures, I want you to know that others can experience God encounters. How many people in Luke chapter 9 would not have been healed if the disciples had not exited their comfort zone? How many people would not have heard the gospel, the good news that Jesus is the King and he's coming back? How many would not have ever even heard if they had not exited their comfort zone? I tell you what. You have to think in these terms. What people will remain in hunger? What people will remain in a place of sickness? What people will remain in a place of pain or hurt or loneliness if I stay in my comfort zone? What people are going to stay in bondage if I don't exit my comfort zone? What kids are not going to be mentored if I don't exit my comfort zone? When you exit your comfort zone, it's not just about you. Please understand that. It is about others being able to have a God encounter that otherwise they would not have. My wife Lacey went to the mall. She likes to go there. I took my daughter there yesterday. Immediately I get tired as soon as I walk into a mall. I don't know what it is, but it's just, poof. Okay, one store. Let's go. But she actually has a lot of perseverance and resilience when it comes to malls. And so she, I heard this week, was out shopping, and she went into one of her favorite stores, and as she's shopping, I don't know if that's how you shop. I don't do much. It's kind of like that. I don't know. But as she was shopping in this store, she overheard one of the workers say, oh, I just wish this headache would go away. Sometimes it's easier if you don't hear something, right? Knowledge brings responsibility. And she's sensing in her spirit, like, I pray for her. And she told me that she wrestled with that. But finally, she punched fear in the face. And she exited her comfort zone, and she went over and said, I heard you say that about your headache. I'm so sorry about that. Can I pray with you? And she's like, sure, you know, and started to walk away. No, can I pray with you right now? And so she had an opportunity to pray with that lady right there in the name of Jesus for her to be healed. Now, would that person have experienced that touch of a believer, the touch of the presence of God, of light coming into her reality, if she had stayed in her comfort zone? Now, Lacey is outgoing. Many of you are getting to know her. She's super outgoing. She's amazing. But she would admit that that is not her comfort zone, to walk up to a complete stranger and say, can I pray for you? Can I take your hands in mine? Can I pray for you? See what I'm saying? For a number of us, that would be outside of our comfort zone. But when we stay in our comfort zone, other people don't get to encounter God at the level that they would if we exit our comfort zone. Now, I get exiting your comfort zone is not easy. You think the disciples thought it was easy? Absolutely not. But it created such faith, such dependence on God. It created such an opportunity to follow the example of Jesus. It created for them this adventure that they were telling their kids about, I'm sure, when they were older. It created a God encounter for all those people to be healed and to be delivered and to be set free. It created all that. Why? Because they followed the leading of the Lord and they just did what was right and they exited their comfort zone. Right before Jesus ascended to heaven, he was spending time with his disciples. He had been arrested, willingly given his life, his perfect life for the sins of the entire world, and then rose again on the third day, proving that he was, in fact, God. And he's talking with them, and he's like, here's what I want you to do. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe everything I have commanded you. And this thought hit me this week. I wonder if the disciples were like, oh no, he's doing it again. He's sending us out again. We can't take anything. We're going to be alone. It's going to be hard. He's not going to give us directions. And I could just imagine they're like, oh, feeling that unsettled feeling of what it feels like to step out of your comfort zone. And Jesus was once again saying, I want you to go and make disciples. But then Jesus added this statement at the end of the setting. Go and make disciples. Baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And lo, I am with you always. It means, behold, check this out. Notice this. I'm changing things up here. I'm going to be with you. A missionary that I met many years ago, he has since passed on, said this: there is no go without the lo. There's no go and make disciples. There's no go and get out of your comfort zone and do something for God and do something for your family that's right and good and will impact them. There's no go without the lo. And what is the lo? What's the behold? What's the attention grabber that Jesus gave to them right then? He said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And I want you to know that this morning, that as you exit your comfort zone this week, in whatever area that might be, you don't do it alone. God promises to be with you, even to the end of the age. You might feel like you're alone. If you're a believer in Jesus, you're not alone, okay? God is with you. He's walking beside you. He's given you everything that you need. When you step into a new place, a new adventure in God, you'll walk out of it thinking, I didn't lack anything. I had everything that I needed. Paul the Apostle said in Romans chapter 8, He who did not spare his own son, will he not also graciously give us all things? You exit your comfort zone. Know this, you are not alone. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? It was God's plan that he would not create a world and then leave it to its own devices and forget about it. He had a plan since the beginning of time, even before the first person sinned. He knew that was going to happen, that he was going to send his son, Jesus Christ, to leave the comfort zone of heaven, to step into our existence in order to rescue us. Oh, rescue us from what? Well, rescue us from ourselves. Because we can't do it. We can't earn a relationship with God. We can't get right with God on our own. We can't make it all work. We can't produce lasting peace and fulfillment and hope. We definitely can't produce eternal life after our time on this earth ends. He left his comfort zone in order to come to us to save us from ourselves. And that's what the disciples preached. Jesus is the King. Surrender to him. And I want to ask in this place and give opportunity for any that are here that would say, I am ready to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. I'm ready to step into a relationship with him. I'm ready to receive forgiveness of my sins. I'm ready to not do life on my terms. I'm ready to do my life on his terms. And for those of you that might respond, this is stepping out of your comfort zone. Because you're stepping away from self and you're saying, Jesus, I need you. I need your forgiveness. I need your hope. I need eternal life. I need peace in my heart that comes through being right with God. And for those that are here this morning, they would say, I want to surrender myself to Jesus and I want to step into right relationship with God. I want to ask that you would just please stand. You're here this morning. And you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus. I ask that you'll just please stand so that I can pray with you. Is there anybody else who would join this one? I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus. Is there anybody else? For those that have stood, I want to lead in a prayer. And I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Because if it comes from your heart, this is your desire. God responds to you to receive his salvation. I'm going to ask the rest of the congregation that is here today, would you please join me in this prayer as well? And join these that have stood and saying, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I come to you in need. I can't do it on my own any longer. I need you. I believe that you are the King that's come to save me and to rescue me from my sin. I believe in you that you have the power to change my life. So I confess right now, I am off the throne and you are on the throne of my life. Be my God, be my Savior, be my hope. Amen. And now those of you that are still seated, I just want to ask you this. Would you please stand if you've already thought of a comfort zone that you need to exit in the next few days, or you're willing to exit a comfort zone if the Lord brings one to mind in the next couple days, would you just please stand? Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word that challenges us and gives us your example of one who left the comforts of heaven to step into our existence, to rescue, to save, to deliver, to heal, to free. God, it is our desire to be about your work. It is our desire for the kingdom of God to advance, not just in this world and other countries, but in our homes, in our marriages, in our families, and at the workplace. Lord, as we choose to step out of comfort zones, I pray that you will give us the faith, the courage, the boldness that we need for every step of the way. And we thank you, Lord, that as we take that step, as we exit that comfort zone, whatever it might be in our life, for your work, for your kingdom, we know that we are not alone, that you are with us. And so I pray that your presence will surround each and every person as they leave here in a few moments, that they will walk in the grace and the power in the goodness of Jesus every day this week. In your name we pray. Amen. I would like to ask the rest of you to join us in standing, and we're going to end our time together today by once again worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we want this song to be an encouragement to you, but I pray as you declare it, it's going to be an encouragement to God that this is what we truly believe. Everlasting.
Isn't God awesome? Amen, amen. What a great morning we've had here today. Thank you so much for being here today. We love you a bunch. I pray that you have an incredible rest of the week. God bless you.